Does anybody hear the radio right now? Me neither, but radio waves are going through here right now, right? Like if you had a radio, there's messages going through the room right as we speak. When one of my first cars, it's a 1977 Oldsmobile boat, you know. We would go to the drive-in and you could lay on the hood and the hood wouldn't cave in, you know. Me and my three brothers, like, you could dance on this hood. It was big, big, big vehicle. And it only had an AM radio. No 8-track even. And, of course, no digital dial, right? Like, you just turned that baby. And, you know, I grew up, my dad, with, you know, those analog radios in our cars, he could just reach over and find a station without even looking, because those numbers on an analog radio at that size, they don't really matter. Like it's a feel thing. You're looking for that. And even like I remember that as I talk about it, that Oldsmobile, it had some presets you could pull out on this tab and push in, and then hopefully it would pull you over. But still, there had to be that fine hand to just kind of dial in the radio to get the messages that are going around, to know, like, well, no, don't want that. That sounds like oldies. Don't want that. That sounds like country. Definitely don't want that. But it'd be confusing sometimes if it was on a commercial, right? You couldn't find exactly what you wanted to find on the dial. Well, how do we tune in to God's voice? How do we get good at finding his station? How do we get, like, the scripture would use the word discernment to know, like, is this right? Is this what God's saying? Am I tuned in to who he is? And discernment, I will say to you, can be something that we get better at. It's something that perhaps some practice can tell us, oh, I can find what's going on around. I can get to this. Now, those days are gone in your car. They're gone at home. If you want to listen to something, you can listen to that thing. My children can listen to a song about Bruno. There's a new Disney movie out. And man, there's a song about Bruno. And like, they don't have to wait for it to come on the radio. And even when we're in the car anymore, we have little gadgets that we can, like, if we want to listen to a particular thing, we can listen to that thing. We don't have to wait for what is being broadcast. We can access ourselves. Well, maybe God is not so much like YouTube, that we can call up from him whatever we want. God, tell me who I'm going to marry. Tell me, you know, like, what car to buy. Tell me what school to go to. You know, like, God, we just wish you had a place, like a search engine, if we could just dial in what we want. But it seems like God is going to play his program, and we better listen. We might even tape some of it and play it back later. So let's talk about recognizing and responding to the presence of God. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read the whole chapter. Won't hurt nobody. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli's the priest. He's the high priest. His eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see. He was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. A lot of backstory here. A lot of items. They're in the tabernacle. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me, my son." Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blaspheme God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up. He's just a little tyke in here. In this section, he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Then all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. I encourage you to look at some of the bigger context of this story, how Samuel arrives to serve in the house of God, as in 1 Samuel 1 and 2, and some of how you see Eli. Eli is supposed to be a minister in God's house, and when somebody comes there, Samuel's mom, Hannah being one in particular, really crying out to God, just like pouring out her heart. Eli's a guy who says, "Woman, are you drunk? Like, how long are you going to keep getting drunk coming to church?" He doesn't realize when there's really the presence of God. And so this punishment that Eli already kind of knew about and Samuel confirms is eventually carried out in the book of 1 Samuel. It's a time where it's the time of the judges. People are doing what they think is right. Israel's being harassed in all sorts of sides. They don't have a king because God doesn't want them to have a king. He wants to be their king. He wants to provide his direction and his guidance. Eventually, people will turn from just hearing from God directly to, "Let's pick a king. Let's pick a king." I want to look with you this morning, not at all of that larger context, but the fact that God speaks. That he speaks to a little boy like Samuel, and I would say he still speaks. And we need him to speak. And we need to be able to discern his voice. And some foundational things to that. Ruth Haley Barton, in her book Sacred Rhythms, talks about three crucial beliefs if we're going to have a right practice of discernment. The first being this: we have to believe in the goodness of God. If we're really going to seek God, where are you leading? What is your direction in my life? There's a start with the fact that God is good. Doesn't mean he's fair. Doesn't mean we like it. Realize what the goodness of God means, right? Second is that our primary calling is love. So whether it's at this university or that university, whether it's at this job or that job, whether you're in a house or with a mouse, whether you're like wherever you are, realize that love is what you're supposed to be doing there. And then third, that God actually does speak through his Holy Spirit. We are not just the people who are like, we have a book and this is all we have from God. You know why we have a book is because the Spirit inspired, the Spirit speaks, and he still speaks today. And so this is foundational. If we want to sense his direction, we've got to have these beliefs that God, you are good, because I might not like where you want me to go. I might not like what you're going to do in me, but I have to trust that you are good. And so Samuel in his pajamas hears from God. I love that picture. I love that innocence. I love that he did nothing really. You know, Samuel, his whole life to this point, has really just been a passive sort of kid. Like, his appearance is a big deal. You know, his mom has been childless for years. And she says, God, if you give me a child, I will give him to you to serve you. And so after he's weaned, he's still just a little guy. Just sitting in his pajamas, God speaks to him. Now, you might not be like Samuel. You're not so innocent anymore, right? Like, you've been around the corner. You got some miles on, and they're not all highway miles. Like, there's some rust on the undercarriage. Like, there's some things you've been through. And so to go to God and listen to him and, like, God just speak and have that innocence of Samuel, we don't always start there. I'm thankful that we can. But what if a practice that we need in discernment is to start with, and I'm borrowing a lot from Ruth Haley Barton's book today, but I just told you it's from her, so it's not stealing, it's just citing. It starts with indifference. If we're going to have a practice of discerning, it starts with indifference. And indifference we often use is a very negative thing. I'm indifferent, I don't care, do what you want, whatever. But what if an indifference to say, God, whatever you want, that's what matters the most. F.E. Marsh said it like this: God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. So we can't go back to, you know, a childhood innocence like Samuel, but we can say, God, I'm indifferent, like, I'm just your servant, right? Like, that's what Samuel says to the Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. This indifference to say, God, I want to listen. Verse 3 says that Samuel's ministering before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now, I got to wonder, was God not talking or were people not listening? Sometimes when we think, God, you're not talking, are we listening is a better question. And Samuel is in a place, he is near the ark of God. Do you know, many years ago, before they regulated it well, AM radio stations could blast out their signal on the frequencies. There was one station, WLW in Cincinnati, that broadcast so powerfully that people near the station, near the antenna, could hear the radio in their mattress coils. 500 kilowatts of sending out. 500 kilowatts. Now the maximum for a radio station is 50. Like 10 times what you could send out now. It required a 33 kilovolt electrical substation of its own with a cooling pond. This station was blasting. And on nights without much, you know, stuff going on in the stratosphere or ionosphere or wherever fear, you know, you could hear this station all across the United States. So Samuel is not used to hearing God's word. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, but he was so close he didn't even need to turn on the radio. It's beautiful. Like, I mean, he does not yet know the Lord. He hadn't been instructed. Maybe that's a bash on Eli. Maybe he's just so young, right? Like, he's just learning his ABCs. But this reminds me of salvation, because the scripture says, when we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, God made us alive with Christ. When we were just laying there. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. God can get a hold of you. You don't have to go to some evangelistic crusade for God to get a hold of you. A lot of times, people that I have met who turned their lives over to Jesus, they did it before they even came into the walls of the church. Because God's already shook them. He's already awakened them by his Spirit. So what ought we do? We ought to be receptive. I got four R's for you. I forget where I got them. This is I preached on this passage of scripture before. I didn't write down where I got my R's of my outline. But we ought to be receptive. In a time where there's not many visions, we ought to be listening. So this all happened one night. And it says in verse 2, I know we covered verse 3, but back to verse 2. One night, Eli. So he's supposed to be the high priest. He's supposed to be the one who hears from God. It says his eyes were becoming so weak he could not see. I don't think this is just a commentary on his glaucoma. I think there's a spiritual thing. This guy, he's getting old, but he's getting hardened. It speaks in verse 3 about the lamp of God not having yet gone out. Eli should have been hearing God's voice, but he wasn't. Sometimes those people who are in positions who are supposed to be hearing from God don't. Sometimes instead of getting older and wiser, we get older and crustier. We've lost a sense of purpose and meaning, and we've settled into disillusionment, cynicism, emotional detachment. Aren't those opposite to the hope and passion and faith we should have in Jesus? Shouldn't older saints be more on fire for God? But this wasn't the case then, and I wonder if it is now. I think of January's my anniversary month of going into full-time ministry as a pastor, started in 2004, 18 years ago, and I think, like, shouldn't I be more on fire now? And I wonder. And Eli, who should have been hearing from God, wasn't. And so God speaks to the pure in heart. He speaks to those who are obeying his word. If we want to hear from God, another R is we got to be respectful. Eli, his kids are all messed up and he's doing nothing about it. You read a little bit more about these guys, Hophni and Phinehas. Nobody names their kids Hophni and Phinehas. So these guys are messed up. And Eli knows about it. And God cares what's going on in your family. He doesn't just care about what's going on at work. He doesn't care about that position. He cares about your parenting. He cares about what's going on and what you're, are you being respectful or not? But thankfully, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. God had not given up hope on his people. It might feel like the light's about to go out, and God won't let his light go out. So the Lord calls Samuel. And we see some things. Samuel's obedient. He's prompt. Like, oh, you called me, right? Like, I heard my name. He didn't know. He didn't have, and this is great, that you don't have to have a certain amount of scriptural knowledge to be able to hear from God. And some of us who have known the Lord for a while, we don't want these young whippersnapper Christians saying, I think the Lord's speaking to me. Because we're like, well, you don't know enough yet. Samuel disproves that altogether. He doesn't know anything. And finally, with the third time going, Eli says, you know what? And even once in a while, even a blind squirrel finds a nut, right? Eli realizes it's the Lord calling the boy, and so he says, hey, go and lie down, which is anybody who's looking after a kid who's waking him up in the night. But then he says, if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And Samuel obediently goes, lays down. What a great way to answer God. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Let's pray that right now. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. We often pray, listen, Lord, your servants are speaking. Don't we? Listen, Lord, your servant speaks. Well, so it's interesting. Whatever. Verse 10. The Lord came and stood there. It didn't say that the first three times. Four times. Four times God speaks to him. I'm so thankful that God doesn't quit. Like, you may have come to church when you were a little kid and not listen to God. You may have come to church as a teenager, not listen to God, young adult, not listen to God. Finally, he keeps speaking. But we got to be responsive. That's another R. We've got to be responsive. Back when Morse code, we're covering all the communication spectrum. Back when Morse code was the fastest method of long-distance communication, there's a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answered an ad in the newspaper, went to an office. When he arrived, it was this large, busy office filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of the telegraph, deet, 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 in the background. Sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. So a young man sat there and filled out his form. There were already seven other applicants waiting in the area that he was at. And in a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, opened it, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants kind of like perked up, wondering, what's going on? And muttered among themselves, what's that guy doing? This kid's pretty bold. He's going to be disqualified. Well, within a few minutes, the employer walked out with the young man and said to the other applicants, gentlemen, I thank you very much for coming, but the job has just been filled. The other applicants began grumbling. One said, wait a minute, I don't understand. He came here later than us, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job. That's not fair. And the employer said, I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it or understood it. The young man did. The job is his. Are we listening? Are we being responsive? Maybe God has already spoke to you and you're just doing nothing with it. You're not responding to the message that he's given, either by special revelation, like Samuel's getting, or by general revelation, this book. Are we coming right into the inner office? I mean, I know life has got a lot of clatter, a lot of noise, but are we tuned in? Will we sit quietly and hear, God, are you speaking? Because I want to be listening. So then the Lord speaks to Samuel, and I don't have a lot of time to unpack this, but the Lord trusts Samuel with a difficult message, and Samuel repeats every word of it, even though it's hard, Because if it's from God, that's really what matters. It's probably not what Eli wanted to hear. It's probably what Samuel, not even what Samuel, like he's just the messenger. He's just to hear from God and to share it. But that's what he got. Because God is probably more like an FM radio station than YouTube. And so God speaks specifically, and Samuel is rapt. Starts with an R. He is caught and stores up exactly what God says. Are we those kind of people who store up exactly what God says? What about his word? You know, if we were to play Name That Tune, some of you would do really, really well. With just a few notes of a song. In some genres, you would do really well because you love that sort of stuff. You've spent a lot of time with it. You've got familiarity. You've got repetition. You value it. If I were to play Name That Verse and start reading the scripture, how many of you would? I don't know. Have we shaped our lives by what God has said? Not just learned it, but like, have we shaped our lives? And so Samuel does. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Now, as Christians, when we're trying to figure out things, we often start with like, well, what's your circumstances? And what are some scriptures that might help with that? And get some advice. And then like, what's some of the wisdom that we have? What if that's just a start? What if it's just a start? Now, I don't have answers for every single situation here. But here's some questions, again from Ruth Haley Barton. Questions. Because maybe questions, not answers, will actually shape our lives better. What if we would ask questions, sitting with the Holy Spirit, about things like direction and calling? God, how does this choice fit into like the bigger picture? So often we've got our reading glasses on, and God's got like long-distance stuff in view, and we're like, no, I need to see what's up close. Or we never consider like the fact, is this something that draws me nearer to God, or is this something that will push me away? Is going into this job going to make me trust God more, or is it going to let me trust me more? Is there scripture? God, would you speak? These are questions that we ought to have. God, is there a particular scripture that you're highlighting? Yeah, I know there might be some general scripture, but God, would you speak? Fourth question is like, on my deathbed, like this is with eternity in view. This is really big picture. What really matters in light of eternity? Unfortunately, I've been around a lot of people's deathbed. There's not a lot of thinking that happens usually there. But like, if you could think ahead and say, looking back, what would really matter? If 1 second after you died, you're going to know a lot more than you know now. What you're doing now, will that make sense then? An eternal perspective. Is this consistent with what Christ is doing? So you better know, if you want to know what Jesus would do, you got to know what he did. Is this something that will grow my character? These are great questions. Finally, the last one, how does this choice fit with others? Like what, if God's doing, other people, he speaks to other people too, you know. Sometimes about you. Not God, like it's heavenly gossip if it's anything. Will other people see this? So we have to be in community. We even need times of solitude, right? Jesus started his ministry with 40 days of fasting and prayer. Jesus, right before the cross, you guys stay back there, going on, just a little bit further. Spend some time alone with the Father. I want to, if you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 20. This was on the first day of the week, the morning of the first day of the week. We call that day Sunday. This particular day we would call Easter Sunday. That's happening in John chapter 20. There's a scene here maybe you're familiar with. There's a woman named Mary, not the mother of Jesus Mary, but another Mary. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Questions he gives her. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. So, picture that. Mary is weeping. This is an ugly cry. This is puffy-eyed. She's been crying for 3 days. This is the third day she's been crying. She's looking for a corpse, somebody who's laying like this, not somebody who's standing up. And she sees angels, but she doesn't even care, it doesn't seem. Where is he? Maybe she doesn't recognize there's angels, but she turns around, you know, like, it's almost kind of funny, truly. Like, Jesus is standing, but she figures Jesus doesn't stand. Jesus is dead. Some of us still think Jesus is dead. We act like he is. He's not going to talk. He's not going to say anything. He's dead. She thinks he's just there, you know, gardening. Now, he really is a gardener, but that's in Revelation. That's in Genesis, right? He does some gardening. So she's not totally wrong, but she's mostly wrong. "Sir, if you've carried him away, you know, tell me where you put him, and I will get him." Oh, that smacks of works righteousness. "I'll carry my Lord around." And so how does Jesus fix this? This weird sort of state she's in of disbelief, thinking he's dead. He says one word to her. It's her name. What did the Lord say when he stood next to Samuel? He said his name. And so Mary turns to him, worships, grabs him. He says, "You gotta let go. Go tell some people." Pedro Arrupe, good Catholic, says this: "Nothing is more practical than finding God. That is, than falling in love in a quite absolute, final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the mornings, what you will do in your evenings, how you will spend your weekends, what you read, who you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love. It will decide everything." Ultimately, friends, discernment, godly discernment, is about falling in love and letting that decide everything. Knowing It's about falling in love and letting that decide everything. Another great Catholic, Thomas Merton, from our last century, said this. I bet you've prayed this prayer, maybe not with these exact words, but it's a good prayer. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that my desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. You can find that prayer online. It's simple, but it's a doozy. Let's end our service with, again, praying that prayer. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Friends, we can be receptive, respectful. We can be responsive, and we should be rapt with listening to God's specific words. So, Father, speak, for your servants are listening.